Christmas.
Yay.
Is this the fourth one?
Third, I think, right?
I think it's the fourth one.
I think we started the podcast like in January one year, so I think that this is only the third.
I think you're correct. I wish we weren't rolling when I admitted that you were correct.
Merry Christmas.
Hello and welcome to episode... You can't be quiet during the intro?
I was enjoying some coffee.
Okay, carry on with the coffee.
Okay.
Episode, I don't even know what, 207?
Or edition 3 of the holiday Christmas episode.
Yeah. It's 207.
Okay. Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 207 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan Eend. Tubing in Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC, Canada.
What is going on? I forget the format for the Christmas episode.
There is no format.
There is one piece of business right at the top.
What's that?
If you want to hear about photography...
Right.
Go elsewhere.
Oh, no.
No, this is the warning. This is the fair warning. Do not listen. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to intrigue everybody and say this might be our most interesting episode ever.
I agree.
Because I think you're on tilt, I'm on double tilt, and you're sick.
Right, yes.
So this
not
might,
well. This I'm not well.
No, this might go off the rails quickly. And if you're hoping for a nice, quiet Christmas Eve podcast, again, keep looking.
I'm going to probably say some stuff I'm going to regret later.
Oh, let's do it now. Do it now. You know what? I was considering canceling this year's Christmas episode so as not to offend North Korea.
Right.
I know they're a little bit touchy. And quite honestly, I thought they were the world's biggest babies.
Right.
Turns out Sony Pictures is.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow.
I think it's all some, you know, really, really smart marketing ploy on Sony's part, though, that they're going to somehow parlay this into the biggest video-on-demand release of all time.
Yeah, still pussies, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can say that.
Why?
I don't know, on the podcast family show.
I say that in front of my kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're good then.
That's a true story. Today at kindergarten was her last day of kindergarten before the break.
Right.
And so they invited all the parents to come like an hour before the end, and we can all have like Kinder Punch and cookies and stuff out on the playground or whatever. So I'm out there and I'm holding Sam. I got him in my arms because he's kind of hit the wall. And so Emily's playing. And she's gone off and she's grabbed a bucket and she's just sitting in the playground by her, in the sandbox by herself, minding her business. And there's parents everywhere and I'm standing very close. And this one kid, who's the same age as her, this boy, walks over to her with two of his cohorts. And he yes. just winds up and punts the bucket that she's playing with.
Like she's, really? She's
sitting down and she's holding the bucket between her legs.
Right.
And he winds up and just punts it. But
he's a soccer player.
Not the word I was thinking. Yeah. And so I'm standing there watching this, and I'm just biting my tongue because, you know, I don't want to be that parent, you know, who gets involved.
Right.
In that. I want her to sort this out. And so whatever, I sit back and leave it. She yells at him, don't do that. And then his two friends think it's funny. They both start hammering it. And so now it's her against these three, you know, boys the same age, and they're all just hammering away, booting it, and I'm like, oh man, come on, kid, just stand up and punch them in the nose like we practiced.
Right.
And she doesn't, but she's telling them stop. And then, good for her, she gets up and just turns the other cheek and walks away and sits down in the far end of the sandbox and walks away, leaves it.
Right.
And then they follow her over there.
Of course they do.
And I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, come on. And so I let it happen, and they start kicking it again.
And nobody else is cognizant of this.
No, it's normally they would be. It's a very good kindergarten. I have nothing bad to say about it. But I guess it's everyone's busy having punch and cookies. I don't know.
Right.
And I was hoping for a real punch. I was hoping for a real Kinder punch right there. And so, so the kids start booting it again, and she starts crying. And then someone, oh, Emily's crying. What's going on? And they look at me, and I'm just standing there. And she comes over to me, and she's crying, and she's crying, and she wants daddy, daddy, daddy. And I bent down, and I just told her, stop your crying. Because the kids are now playing with the bucket.
Right.
Stop your crying. Go over there and take your bucket back. She stops her crying, walks over, grabs it out of the three of their arms, and went and played with it herself. And I was thrilled.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive. And now everybody, all the other parents think Emily's a bully.
Maybe. I don't care. They're going to, I can tell you right now, in the new year, if this, like, that's when we go back to kindy.
Yeah.
If this behavior continues, she's going to punch him in the nose.
Yeah. Well, hope you got her a punching bag for Christmas.
I am the punching bag.
Okay.
Yeah. We've gone over it.
Okay.
It's a 3-step process. Please don't hit me. Stop hitting me. Pow.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that what Sarah does?
No. No. We haven't really encountered much of the bullying at this yet at school.
I don't think it's bullying. I think it's just stupid boys.
No, that's bullying. I mean, yeah. At that age, that's as close to bullying as you get, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You're coming over, it's a pack of three against one doing something clearly that the one does not want to go on. That's, you know, times that by 5 years, that's exactly what bullying is.
I guess so.
Yeah.
That's why I want to deal with it now.
Yes,
I agree. Let her sort it out. I don't want her to be the bully. Never, ever, ever, both my kids will be very instructed to never, ever, ever start a fight.
Just tell her to befriend, you know, three bigger kids.
Well, she is the biggest one.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a heavy stepper.
Okay.
Yeah. No, she actually is. Her and her friend are the two tallest kids in the kindergarten, so they're all good. But anyways, okay. So that was it. That was the bullying. But no, we're doing the show anyway, and North Korea can, you guys can go ahead and whine some more.
Okay.
What's going on with you, Adam? Christmas stuff?
Yeah, I guess so. Last day of school for my kids too. So Yeah, then it's going to be break time for everybody. My kids and wife and everyone will be off for a couple weeks till after New Year's.
Speaking of the best of times, the worst of times.
What's that?
Isn't that like on paper? It's like, yeah, everybody's home. This is going to be awesome. But that's when the blowups happen.
Yes.
So
you have to find lots of things to do to keep everybody busy and happy.
Yes.
Because all the things that they usually do, like, you know, Sarah dances, Jack plays hockey, all of that stuff, you know, comes to a screeching halt over the Christmas break as well.
Right.
So there's a lot of time. There's a lot of time.
There's no decompression time. It's just,
Yeah, it's go time. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you never mentioned that was going to be sort of the theme in the episode.
That's
going
to be the theme, is the best of times, the worst of times. That's what I was thinking about. I've been thinking about that for quite some time now. I made a whole bunch of notes, but we might not get to them.
We just need to, you know, throw out some topics, and then we can rant about it. Like, I think both of us are just, you know, ready to unleash the rants.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I just, it was off the air. I just described to you what I did for the 40 minutes prior to recording.
Right, yeah.
I cleaned out the drain. I had to clean a clogged drain in my sink, in my kitchen sink. This is probably the worst bit of home, like the home ownership, the worst part. Again, best of times. Best thing is you own a house. It's your own house. You know, you can do whatever you want. Worst part is the drainage.
Right.
Always drainage. It's never like, oh man, the drainage was awesome. I've never had a problem. It's always something with the drainage.
Right.
We're in the year 2000 and something. Can't we figure that out by now?
Well, we could, but everything is now put up in 13 seconds that they make in 2014. And if you bought something that was in 1945, it's starting to fail. So either way, you're kind of out of luck.
It's the 14 seconds that drives me crazy, because this is the situation I find myself with this plumbing, is that it was done reasonably fine. It wasn't done well.
Right.
And what's the investment? If you're going to actually do plumbing in a sink, what's the investment to do it well? 10% of your time? An additional 10%?
Right.
You know, it's not, it, and the return is huge. Just do it right. Don't be flimsy and have bits leaking and what have you. Don't do it. And plumbing isn't that hard. Guess what? It's gravity. The end. Moving on. That's. I did buy a new stove today.
Okay.
I bought a stove slash oven combo built in, but now I have to install it. But we got one of those induction ones that it doesn't actually get hot.
Okay.
It uses a magnetic field to heat the pot up, but the stove you could touch.
That's great.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
That's the technology that we live in, though. I have an awesome stove like that and a 10-cent plumbing system. Pick a horse, guys.
Yeah.
We talked about Christmas last week off the air.
Right.
And I want to know what's going on in your Christmas world that's got you all up in knots.
Oh, we did our annual trip last weekend after we recorded the podcast. We did our annual trip to Van Dusen Gardens.
Well, that wasn't even where I was going, but let's start there.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there's more than one thing that's got me in a little bit of a tizzy, but last weekend we did our annual trip to Van Dusen Gardens, which, you know, in years past I've spoke about and I've used pictures, where, you know, they put up, it's essentially a botanical garden, and it, over the holiday season, they put up a million plus lights all over the botanical gardens. They're, you know, they have like light shows where, you know, it's synchronized with music, and they have little different areas where, you know, you can see Santa, you can see this little performance by some dancing elves. They usually have outdoor choir. It's a really cool setup. That's the best of times. It's truly something that I've enjoyed doing in the past. The problem is now everybody knows that it is awesome, and so you get basically Disneyland in the botanical garden. You get a million people shoulder to shoulder to essentially walk around and look at lights, and that kind of kills the fun of it for me anyways.
Right. Now, see, it is a spectacle. I feel like it is a spectacle to behold. We were there 2 years ago, 3 years ago now. Was it that long? I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, a couple of years. Yeah, I think it was two, three years ago, yes.
But, and so we went and saw it. We took Emily and went and saw it. We're with you guys, and we had a great time, and it is definitely a spectacle to behold. However, I'm curious to know, what is the variation from year to year?
Very little.
Very little.
Yes. But it seems to be the amount of people each year gets exponentially greater that they cram into that place.
But how long until your kids have had enough?
Oh, they had enough this year.
Okay, so you're done for at least, you got a 5-year hiatus in front of you.
Well, I mean, I still like, again, I'm all about tradition, and I like to do some of the same things each year. But yeah, this will be tough. It'll be tough for me to convince both myself and the family to do it again next year, just based on the sheer volume of people there, and just the fun factor definitely reduced substantially. I'll give you an example. I think I might have ranted about this last year, but they have like a light show over like this little pond that they have, and you know, it's all synchronized to music, and it's all, there's a lot of trees in this big botanical garden, so you kind of have to, there's like a viewing area for this light show, and it goes off every half hour, and there's two different variations on the light show. So anyways, we get there, and you know, we're with small kids, so obviously we go there a little bit ahead of time so we can get a good spot and have a good viewing area for this little show that goes for maybe 10 minutes. Okay, so of course, you know, we're standing, we're waiting, and then, you know, about 13 seconds before it's going to start. Like, here comes like the mass amounts of people that all kind of have to wedge in right behind you. So now you got, you know, people breathing down your neck. But the best part is everybody, it seems, with their camera has to have a tripod.
Right.
It has to have a tripod. I'm talking people with point and shoots with it mounted on, like, you know, a 6-foot tripod. It's it again, I have no explanation for it. So I don't know.
What are they doing
either
with those photos?
I have no idea. So either they're experimenting with long exposure, or they're taking a video of this, you know, flashing light sequence. I don't know what everyone's doing with the tripod, but that tripod is halfway up my rear end, and you know, the guy's kind of jockeying all around me to get the best angle for his video or for his, I don't know. But again, here comes the best of times, the worst of times. I like it if I could have, you know, 2 feet of perimeter breathing room around me, but the whole experience is completely killed by the nonsense that's kind of taking place around me.
I know exactly what you speak of. That happens to me on a daily basis here in Germany. And maybe Germans listening can weigh in and let me know, what is the deal with personal space over here? Like, it doesn't exist. It's not a thing. Nobody seems to care. And it's upsetting to me when it starts to show up, because I felt the same way when we were at Van Dusengaard's even a couple of years ago, and it sounds like it's gotten worse.
Oh, absolutely. It's gotten worse.
But A, personal space. B, pick up on the social cues. We're not comfy here. If you want to get a good spot to videotape your magnum opus that is the light show,
right?
Show up. As soon as the light show is over, plant your tripod at the front and wait the 29 minutes.
Yes.
That's it. That's what you have to do. That's the cost of getting it. Not Adam being, you know, one of the pages of the CIA torture book.
Right.
Timely. Yeah. Timely reference.
Yes. No, I for me, that's definitely, it killed it. Now, just to throw in a tiny nugget of photography, this year, what I did do is we got there, the place doesn't open, I think, till 4:30, so we were there at like 4:20. We bought online tickets to save ourselves from a massive lineup. They have a separate entrance for people who buy their tickets ahead of time, so we knew that trick and we did that. So we were actually,
do you
in
walk
right
past those people with your tickets held high?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I would do it. I would taunt them.
So we actually got in right when the place opened, and for, I don't know, 11 minutes it was relatively quiet. So I went to the typical spots where I like to have, you know, the same kind of photo that I take each year of Sarah, and I took that photo, took a few more, and then that was it. Camera went away. I tried to take a couple of wide angles during the light show just to kind of give people an idea of sort of the scope of the light. So I brought the cheap wide angle that I have and shot it at like 19 millimeters on the full frame camera. So I got one or two shots of that just to, again, just show the scene, and that's it. The camera went away. So really, I think that's part of it for me, is that there's so many people walking around. It's next to impossible to just take and pose your kid in front of some lights without having people all around you.
Right.
Yeah, and feeling like a jerk for stopping the movement of the crowd. It'd be like you're in the middle of Disneyland in the summer and shoulder to shoulder, and then you just tell your kids, stop right there, I'm going to take a shot of you. You'd literally get stampeded by the crowd.
Right. Now, I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand what people are doing with these photos. Like, I've been there. I snapped a couple of photos that night myself, and nothing. I didn't sell any of them.
No.
You know, I don't know what you would do with them.
No, for me, it's, I want that one photo each year of Sarah, because I have now three of them. So it's like, you know, the guy who collects turtles.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. No, I really appreciate the you get to see your kid kind of grow up in context. Like, you know, it's nice to, you know, shooting against a white wall, I suppose.
Right.
Every year. But it's also pretty cool at an event. Like, oh, here it is. You know, and that's what I thought about. Because you know what they don't have here? First of all, malls. Malls don't really exist. Which means at Christmas time, there's no mall Santa.
Oh.
Nor is there a Santa.
Right.
And so my kids have never had the Santa's lap photo.
Okay.
Which in and of itself, not really a problem.
Right.
It's more the hokey tradition that we grew up with that dictates that you do that. Now, I like it. I say hokey. I actually like it. I wish, you know, maybe next year or the year after, whatever it was, maybe we'll spend Christmas in Canada and then my kids will go. But by that age, they will not have any clue what's going on.
Yes.
Why would I sit in this guy's lap?
Yes. And I want to say that it's kind of like the school photo, right? Like, I could take a better photo than the kids get for their school photos, but I always buy the school photos because I just kind of like the seeing it each year, you know. They're pretty standard uh-huh. photos, but they are the school photos. So I kind of feel that way. And same thing with the Mall Santa. Now, I also kind of, you know, think that the Mall Santa is the best of times, the worst of times, because, for example, at our mall, the Richmond Center, the one you're probably familiar with, the same Santa every year, and he is awesome. He uh-huh. takes time and spends time with the kids and probably, I'd say, about 10 minutes of family. And they have, you know, elves and they have Mrs. Claus and they really do it up nicely. But on the flip side of that, expect to spend, you know, somewhere between an hour and a half waiting for what? Your turn to see the Santa. Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. It is crazy. Unless you go, you know, the very first day they open it, and you know, that's right after Thanksgiving or whatever they open this thing. Midweek, you can go. But if you try to go on
by Thanksgiving, you mean Canadian Thanksgiving?
No, I mean American Thanksgiving.
Oh, is it really that late?
I think after, no, maybe it's Remembrance Day. I think they wait till Remembrance Day. Yeah. Yeah. So middle of November is when
Veterans Day, if you're, I think it's called Veterans Day in the States.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's called nothing here in Germany.
Okay.
It's called Forget Day.
Try to forget.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is kind of the downside of it. And I mean, my kids wait, they're patient. They wait and they. But I mean, as adults, you're like, really? You know, we're going to stand in line for an hour plus to take the photo with Santa, and everybody seems to do it. So,
but when you were a kid, when you were like 8 or 9 years old, in theory, I don't know if your parents ever did this, but your parents could essentially wander off to stores reasonably close to the line and leave you there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they did. I can't remember if my parents did or not. But you could. You could just, okay, fine, they're going to be fine there. And, you know, if they get out of line, then, you know, some stranger will probably smack them with his belt and it'll be fine.
Right.
But nowadays, you don't want to do that, even though, you know, the risk is probably the same. However, I thought about the Santa Claus stuff a lot, about the Santa Claus in the mall photos. And I thought about, again, the best of times, the worst of times. We live in a great time where technology is fantastic and photography, like, everything is instant. And gorgeous, and like, I bet you the photos that you got of your kids are of phenomenal quality.
They're good. They're not great.
Okay, I'll bet they're really good quality. They're probably nice and nice, evenly lit.
Yeah, they just do one softbox kind of overhead. Yeah.
But you get it immediately.
Oh yeah.
And it's a digital thing. You get it digital? Do you get it printed? Do you both?
We just get the disc, and then I can change the crop on it, and then I can print it however I want.
This is what I'm saying. It's like that is sort of, to me, that is actually the worst of times. There is something so kitschic about getting that Polaroid, that terrible Polaroid with shadows and whatever it is. But it's just that full frontal flash, bam, right in the face, and it drops off, and I like it.
Yeah.
For that instance. Like, for everything else, I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, like a Luddite, like I'm, you know, going to go move into the forest and mail packages to people. I love technology. I love my iPad. I think the iPad, the fact that we're doing this show is a testament to why technology is awesome or terrible if you hate us.
Right.
But I imagine if there was a mall that just said, this year we're just doing Polaroids like we used to 30 years ago, I bet you there'd be a lineup of hipsters.
Probably.
And other people. That would be, if I was in Vancouver, that would be the mall I would go to. I would go to the Polaroid Mall.
Maybe you've got a business plan there.
I don't think so. It would be short-lived, though. Because, I mean, would you do that? Like, if it was like, what does it cost? $20?
Yeah, I think it's $20. $20 or $25 or something like that.
That That is, I was joking. I thought it would be 10.
No, God, no.
Wow, 20. Okay, so $20.
Yeah.
I feel like you should just stand off to the side with your camera and like 15. 15 bucks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they frown upon that.
Right, I think, yeah. No outside food at the ballpark and no outside Santas
right
at the mall. You could do Krampus. That'd be awesome. You just get your picture with Krampus. You have to Google that. That's awful. That's a wonderful, and that's Austrian for anyone. From what I understand, that's the Austrian tradition of this Christmas monster.
Oh, nice.
Good for you guys. But yeah, so I mean, if it was like, I don't know what Polaroids cost, they're not cheap, right? So if you say, yeah, it's going to be $15 and boom, you get the Polaroid right now, you got to shake it like the old Polaroid, you know?
Right.
I would go to that, but I think that would be 1 year and done. And then people would be like, nah, I'm moving on. I want full digital. How many megapixels is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. Like I didn't pay enough attention to see if people were getting the print or if they're getting the digital, because I mean, if they're getting the print, essentially they are doing that, right? Like they print it out. It's not a Polaroid, but they just print it out on their printer right there. And here you go. So you have the option of getting it, you know, in A, B, C or D version.
Right. But you can also get it and get it on a CD.
Right. But they kind of do pick one. Like you don't get it on a CD and the print. You either get the print or you get the CD.
Unless you pay extra. I'm guessing you pay extra.
Yeah, you could probably do buy both. I again, at that point, at 50, because each item would be the $20 or the $25. I doubt very many people are doing both.
Right. We'll investigate. We'll get to the bottom of this before Christmas.
Yes, we need to.
I need to know what most people are doing. So do you think most people are getting the prints or the CDs?
I think probably most people are getting the CDs.
Really?
Yeah. That's my guess. I just, again, just my hunch.
Huh. Well, I think we've exhausted this topic.
Okay, I have another one for
you. Yes, I want to hear, is this about your Secret Santa?
No, but it's just, it is and it isn't. It's about just the present giving at Christmas time or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever you want to basically attach it to.
Despite the name... And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Christmas itself has sort of transcended religion for a lot of people.
Yes. I'm talking about holiday gift giving. Like that's right. Basically what I'm talking about in a nutshell. But
I know we offended North Korea, and now we're in danger of offending Kirk Cameron.
Yes.
And I kind of want to avoid that. North Korea I don't mind, but Kirk Cameron's got some wallop.
Yes.
So I kind of want to avoid that. So let's stick with Candace Cameron and the beret. Anyways,
you like me to proceed?
I do, but I want to make sure people know that you did say the holiday gift giving, but it sort of has become it, like to me Christmas, the name Christmas, I get that there's Christ in there. Mass I assume means more, like in Spanish. No mas means no more.
Sure.
So I'm assuming it's more Christ. I don't know. I'm not a theologist. However, the fact that Christ is in the name, I get it. But to me, Christmas has become like Xerox. Other companies make photocopiers.
Right.
But even if you're using a brother, you still call, hey, make me a Xerox.
Right.
So that to me is what Christmas has become for a lot of people.
Yes.
So carry on with that. Now, Christmas gift giving.
Yes.
What is your issue?
My issue is, I think for children, you know, Christmas or whatever, it is for children. It is like the idea of giving gifts to me is not what it's about. Like it's about spending time with family. I think it probably means different things to different people, but I think most people can agree on the idea that it's about, you know, coming together, community, family, you know, appreciating each other. That is kind of what it's about. The idea that we somehow have attached monetary gifts to everybody is, to me, completely defeats the whole purpose at the beginning. I think we can show our affection in many different ways, and I really don't like the idea of what seems to be happening more and more is, okay, well, I'll buy, you know, I'll buy a $50 gift card for you, and then you're going to buy a $50 gift card for me, and basically we all end up, you know, just buying and receiving things that we didn't need in the first place.
You, my friend, are a heathen. No, I agree. I departed from this tradition a long time ago, but the danger is. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I support you in your endeavor. But you right. are in for it's an up. You're swimming upstream now.
Absolutely.
Because the second you point that out, you hate Christmas and you're a jerk. Adam ruined Christmas.
Yes, I'm a bad person.
Ruined Christmas a long time ago, and thus expectations are sufficiently low.
Right.
Welcome to the club, my friend.
Yeah, I've been trying to, you know, convey the idea. And again, I think it's part of the fact that, you know, I try to look at this through the eyes of my kids. Like, what do they make of all this? And I think the idea that to them, you know, it's get, like, I can't stand that idea. Like, that's what it turns into.
Yeah.
I know people's intentions are often good. Like, you know, I think people somehow feel good. I don't know. This is a way of looking at it. If I buy you a $50 gift card and then you turn around and buy me the same $50 gift card, somehow in our psyches we pass that off as, you know, we're good people for having done that. Yeah. But why didn't I just buy myself a $50 gift card?
Or right? Why don't I just buy you one and walk away?
Yeah, but
that
then
would be better. No, but that would be fine.
But that doesn't happen, right? Like, that doesn't happen because then I would somehow feel bad for not having reciprocated, and I think that's the problem is that we all
that's
have
on
this,
you, my friend.
I know it's on me, but I think it's on everybody. I think that's the problem is we can't just let that happen.
But see, I go through this with my wife during the whole year when we have like we're gonna have like, let's say our kid's birthday party. And who are we going to invite? And I make the list of people I want to invite, and these kids come out like the same age, and she says, well, yeah, but they never invite, you know, Emily to their party, to their kid's party. And I said, I don't even know if they have a party, because it's not always a big thing here. But the point is, right. Whether they have a party or don't have a party, or invite her or don't, I don't care. I'm going to invite these people. Like, I'm going to live my life according to my standards, not what anybody else does.
Right.
I mean, keep in mind, I am highly evolved. in all honesty, I actually don't really care what people think. For a while, long time, I did, and then you go through a time where it's like you kind of pretend you don't, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings. On the other hand, people shouldn't have feelings, so here we are.
Right, right.
But you're right. If you were to get me something, I would feel, oh yeah, man, I kind of feel obligated to get you. That's so stupid.
It is, but it's. I think it's just part of human nature.
Right, but if I remember correctly, last year for my birthday, as a complete surprise, you bought me a camera strap.
Right.
When your birthday came around this year, I don't even think I said happy birthday.
Yeah, oh man, and I wrote that down.
Wow, next year I'm gonna stab you with a screwdriver.
but again, I think that's us, and I think that's kind of, you know, why we tolerate each other so well, and I say tolerate each other so well, is because you know ahead of time that I don't care. You know what? Now that you bring that up, that's the first time that I'm even cognizant of that.
Right.
But you know that to me, birthdays aren't a thing. And I know that to you, birthdays really aren't a thing. And in the past, there's been times where for my birthday, you've, you know, made a little video or something. And then I thought, oh crap, my wife has to remind me, oh, it was Al's birthday a week ago. Did you say happy birthday? Like, and again, so it sort of, it's one of those things that to each of us, I think we understand that it really isn't a big deal, and it's got no reflection on, you know, caring about somebody, whether or not you remember to say happy birthday. That's not in our DNA. But no. For other people, right, that is important, and they feel forgotten, or their feelings are hurt, right?
Again, you just shouldn't have feelings.
I agree. You should. Yeah. Everyone should just, you know, basically get a little more numb.
Well, I don't know if it's numb. That gets into a very non-Christmassy area, talking about feelings. Because I really do, like, I say it jokingly, but I think everyone could put their feelings on hold for a while.
Right.
Just tone it down. Your feelings aren't that important to me. Am I sociopathic? Maybe. Maybe I am. But I'm going to be okay. I'm still going to sleep. The reason I don't sleep tonight isn't because of your feelings.
Right.
It's probably the 9 cups of coffee I had at midnight. That was stupid. No. Do you want to tell me what precipitated this, the realization this year? I wouldn't even say realization, but I think it kind of came to a head where you could no longer take it.
Well, I get frustrated with the whole, you know, family Christmas buying stuff. It's like, you know, it all goes around the family, and I can be pretty sure that my family's, you know, not listening to this. So, but just the idea of, okay, you have to get for so-and-so, and then so-and-so's going to get for you, and you have a price limit, and then everybody makes a list, and so now you're just buying exactly what they would have bought themselves, all to make, you know, ourselves feel better, and to have something like that under the tree. And I,
but to again, be more specific, okay, you showed up in your I want to go to the German word, so I'm going to translate it before I in-laws.
Yes.
Schwiegereltern. Okay, that's what it is. Schwieger family, I think. So you showed up into this family. How long have you been with your wife? Started dating 10, 12 years?
We've been married 10, and we were probably together 4 or 5 before we got married.
Okay, so let's just call it 15 years ago.
Let's call it 15, yeah, yeah.
You showed up into the family, and so there's essentially in your group, there's say you're number 7.
Sure.
Okay, I did the math.
Okay.
I think I did the math.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, so you were number 7 into the party.
Yeah.
Now, at that point, nobody had kids.
Right.
Besides your in-law, parents-in-law. Which was you, but which is your wife and her siblings.
Right.
So there's 7 of you, and now the tradition is, all right, well, we're going to enjoy Christmas. We're going to get everybody a present.
Right. That's kind of the way it worked, is everybody kind of got for everybody.
That's 6 presents. Now, at that point, you're not just going to go, if you set the limit of you can either set the limit of $10 and have fun with it.
Right.
Or it can be $100. But if you set it for like 50, you're throwing your money away.
I think the limit at that point was like, it was pretty explicit, I think, was, you know, don't spend less than, let's say, 75.
Right. So all of a sudden, now, of course, at that point, you and Lisa are dinks.
Right.
Dual income, no kids.
Right.
No problem. Well,
at that point, actually, I would have probably still been in university.
Good point.
Yeah.
So the sponging off your girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you're looking to spend. Christmas is coming. Now you're going to be expected to drop $500 to $600.
Oh, absolutely. Gifts. Yeah, now, absolutely.
Let's say you were just a single dude living your life, no family. Would you just at Christmas time every year just decide I have to spend $600 on myself?
No.
But not only that, I can't buy one thing that I want for $600. I got to split it up over 6 things I don't want.
Right. Right.
So that's never going to happen. But for until you have kids, that goes along. And you know what? There's worse things in life. You know what? I want to be the Beazle, the best son-in-law.
That's right.
And you keep playing the game. But, and I talked to my wife about this after we talked about it last week, and she even said, no, as soon as the first of you guys has the first kid,
right,
that whole Santa trading is over.
Yes, absolutely.
The end. Now everybody spoils the kid until, you know, she has an eating disorder. That's how it goes. Until the next kid comes along, and then it spreads out. And you don't you don't do it. But after a few years, now things did change, right?
Yeah, like, and basically it's Lisa's family, and you know, it's their all their traditions, and I don't want to rock the boat and be the bad guy and say like, but I had to in my head think like, you know, what are we all doing? We're not rich, right? This is a lot of money spent, and again, what was the point again? Like, I understand, you know, show appreciation for each other, but it doesn't have to be in this kind of monetary commitment, right? And I said, you know, we're adults, and again, you know, I don't want to be the spoken out one because then I'm the bad guy.
Let me go ahead and I'm not even joking here for our listeners. You're already the bad guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm the
so
bad guy.
So you can go ahead. Yeah. You have carte blanche to do what you want.
Yeah, so basically, I don't remember how it came up, but at some point we got to talking, and whether it was Lisa or myself who brought it up, was just say, you know, how about we just do, you know, a draw? Like, let's just buy one present for one person, because they still really wanted to, you know, do the adults buying adults presents and not just the kid thing. So we said, okay, well, you know, people can buy for the kids, you know, whether they do or not, we're not gonna, no hard feelings, but go ahead, buy for the kids if that's what you want to do, and we'll buy one thing for the family. And I think this is a pretty common thing nowadays. Having talked to lots of people recently in the last week or two about this, it seems like that's the way a lot of families are going. You buy one present, and this kind of, I guess, minimizes the damages, mm-hmm. shall we say, in terms of the overall expenditure. So now you draw a name out of the hat, you get so-and-so, and then you're going to spend, I think the limit at ours is $100 that you're going to spend on them. And, you know, I've accepted this. This is the way we've done it for the last few years. Still think it doesn't need to occur. I still think that, you know, it is one of those things that I'm not going to win this victory, so I'm willing to play the game.
Right.
I would like to just get the person and come up with my own sort of idea on what to get them. And it is very specific. Everyone makes a list and you're expected to buy from that list. And that's where I think, okay, now it's kind of lost something for me, right?
Absolutely. Now, let me hip you to what goes on here. Now, the difference being that my in-laws like me. I don't know why. I can't explain why. I'm the same.
I don't believe that. They like you to your face.
Yeah, no, for real. Even like, I don't, it sounds like I'm joking. I don't know what the appeal is. Except for maybe Germans appreciate direct talk. They do appreciate directness. Like we've talked about this before. This is a cultural thing. If something's going off the rails, I have no hesitation to point it out and say, no, we're not doing that, the end, and moving on. And they love it.
Right.
Now, that doesn't happen in North America. That would never happen with my family. Like, that's not going to happen. You know, somebody would be upset, and then 5 years later, we would talk about it. I mean, famously, in my grandparents or something like that, like, this, I was not born yet, but somebody at Christmas time, you know, they served coffee after dinner.
Right.
And my grandfather said to his sister or his sister-in-law, is this coffee or browned over water? Basically an insult on the coffee.
Right. Huge coffee insult.
They did not speak for 15 years. That is a true story. That was it. The end. Like,
wow.
Never. Okay. That's it. 15 years. That's your sentence. Okay, so that kind of direct talk, and that wasn't even direct, that was passive-aggressive joking.
Right.
But if it was direct, forget, like, well, this isn't coffee, this is terrible, boo, that'd be 25 years.
Wow.
You know, and so, but this doesn't happen over here. But you know what I got for Christmas last year from my mother-in-law?
What's that?
A towel.
Nice.
A towel, because she knows that I'm an avid swimmer.
Right.
And hey, I bet you he could use a towel just for the pool.
Right.
That's it. And that was it. And it was, I don't know what towels cost. They could cost $5 or $100. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm guessing $5.
Yeah.
It was orange, so I'm assuming it was in the $5 end.
It was in the clearance rack.
But I appreciate that it was orange, because I'm not mixing it up with our, you know, good purple ones. But that's what I got. And then my father-in-law, he got me a gift too, which I thought was kind of strange. But he got me 3 whiskey glasses. 3. Who guys?
That's a weird number.
Turns out they come in packs of 6, and he kept 3. So that was what I got. I got half a pack of that he already opened. But the good news for me is, I swear, in like day 2, I was cleaning them, and one of them fell and shattered, so now I had the proper amount.
Perfect. He bought you a set of 2.
He bought me the proper set of 2. I would have rather he kept 4 and gave me 2, but now I have the wrong amount. Hang on a second. Who's knocking at my door? Is that Emily? Okay, move on. So anyway, so that's what we do for Christmas. And I don't get my in-laws anything.
Right.
I allow them access to their grandkids. That's what I do.
Right. I think that's good enough.
Magnanimous.
I do feel like, you know, that maybe I'm the Scrooge. Like, I know it makes people feel good to give gifts, and
that's,
you know,
selfish. Selfish behavior.
But I mean, my in-laws, like, their intentions, their hearts, I feel like are in the right place. I just look at it in a very different way, and maybe I'm too logical. Maybe I'm too economical. I don't know. I just think, hey, I can afford to buy something for myself.
No, stop, Ricky. First of all, I know your in-laws. I like your in-laws. I don't think they think that I like them. They don't like me very much. Because I hang around with you, I think.
I think that's probably part of it.
When you showed up on the scene, it was like, okay, finally we can like Alan. We have a lightning rod over here in Adam. No, but I very much do. I've stayed at their house before. Many times. Multiple times. I wouldn't say many. Multiple times I've stayed at their house. They're very, very nice. And you're not economical. You spend money freely.
Yes.
You stay in hotels more than most people I know, just for the fun of it.
Oh, absolutely.
But you attach a value to that. You get something out of it.
Right.
I think here it's not economical, it's attaching value to this. What is the value in this transaction? And the answer is about $5. Yet we're spending $100.
Right. That's a good way of putting it.
And I do know that they probably kind of get some joy out of you getting something that they think you want. However, it's so what? It doesn't matter if they like it.
Yeah. And I mean, this year on my end, because, you know, I'm expected to provide a list to my buyer, I tried to not do that. Like, I honestly could not come up with an item for $100 that I felt like I really wanted or needed.
Right.
So I left it. I just left it. And then at the last minute, my person who was supposed to buy for me contacted my wife.
Do you hear my kid freaking out in the background?
No.
Okay, carry on.
And contacted my wife and was like, you know, what does Adam want? Like, what is,
okay. So the person buying for you and your in-laws live like 6 hours away by car.
Right.
So they were coming down the next day.
I wanted to bring the present so that, because this was going to be the last time we'd see them before Christmas.
Right.
So wanted to be able to leave it at our place. And so, you know, I basically had to, you know, come up with something quickly that was going to be somewhere in that you know, value so that they could buy it for me. Right. And I was hoping to change the whole makeup of this and just have them pick whatever they think I might like, right?
Absolutely. That's kind of the fun part. It's not like, oh man, I asked for a memory card holder and look what I got. Right. A memory card holder. Just like the one I could have bought with the money I spent on you.
Right.
You know, except for I wouldn't have taken the time to wrap it myself.
Yeah.
Here we are. But it doesn't make you a Scrooge. Everything has become so perverted that I think it's going to snap back. I think Black Friday has gotten so out of hand. Like, to me, Black Friday is the greatest YouTube day of the year. I love watching YouTube Black Friday because of the pushing and the fighting.
Right.
It is what the WWF used to be in the 80s. It is awesome.
Yeah.
But it is silly because everyone, like, what are you doing? You know, like any day of the year, you can go out and for under $300 buy an amazing television.
Right.
What are you doing on Black Friday? Why would you do that? I think there is a pushback. I think there's a pushback to the Polaroid Santa picture. What are we doing? How many CDs do we need clogging up our closet of our kids' photos?
Right.
I don't think we need those.
I agree.
So I to me, that's the end. I don't know.
There's no answering this question. I think it's for each person. And again, I think...
No. Everyone should believe what we
Somewhere there's
think.
A balance. I agree with that too. But I think somewhere there's a balance. Like, I really do enjoy the happy, smiley face of my kid when they open, you know, the one big gift for that year and want them to play with it and all of that. Like, I truly do enjoy that. I just also want to see a balance where they're not about get, right? Like, I just don't like right. that either. And so it's hard. It's a really hard thing to find that balance, because everybody else, my parents, my wife's parents, aunts and uncles, everybody else wants them to have that moment. And now that moment is times 20 instead of times one. And then that's to them what it will be about. It'll be about opening 25 presents, right? As opposed to one thing. One thing I'm good
because
with.
Because stuff is cheap now. Like, this is what I mean about the best of times, the worst of times. I think it's the worst of times. Now, this was probably happening when I was a kid. I know this was happening. I got too much stuff when I was a kid. And it's not like my parents were rich either. It was just this kind of weird thing that, you know, hey, we're getting joy out of our kids' excitement, and I get joy out of my kids' excitement. Like you said, that I want to see them open that one big thing. But I don't even know what I'm going to get my kids this year. Because everybody else has already poured the gifts in. Like, I see them already. I know what they're getting from, you know, my mom, my dad, the in-laws. Like, everybody wants, the aunts, they all want to give these things because they like our kids and they like the excitement. What do I give them?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm going to give them an orange and say, hey, I'll teach them how to give boxing lessons, evidently. That's what I'll give my kids. So, there you go. Bah humbug.
Yeah.
It's not that. Yeah. It's not that I can't, first of all, I can't believe Christmas is in a couple of days.
It's 6 days. Countdown is six. Well, by the time this airs, it's like 2 days.
Us, 5 days, because Christmas is the 24th here.
Okay.
We don't do the 25th. We do the 25th because we like to spoil our kids, but they get the half German and the half Canadian. So we do the 24th, the 25th, and on the 26th, I'm going to go play poker with some guys who don't know that I know how to play poker.
Sweet.
So, but the only issue is it's going to be me and eight Germans, and so I'm guessing they're going to speak some weird dialect and just play against me. So that's what's going to happen on my Boxing Day.
Nice.
However, I do like Christmas an awful lot. It's just not the presents. It is what you described earlier. It's getting together with family, for 90 minutes a year.
Yeah.
And that's plenty.
Yeah.
No, but there is that certain excitement and the traditions, and some traditions go by the wayside, and that's okay. That's okay. If you just kept doing it every year, that nostalgia wouldn't exist for when you were a kid. I've watched some of the Christmas specials that I watched as a kid. I've watched them with Emily this year, and she hates them. And she's not wrong. Some of them are terrible. Just terrible. And I think, wow, how was this? Why were we excited over this? But we were. And I still hold that nostalgia deep in my heart. But some of the Rudolph ones are a little bit odd.
Yeah.
You know? I like that they're replacing it with the magic skates.
Yes.
However, a goalie can't play the puck past center ice. Spoiler alert. I didn't mean to spoil the ending, but that is absurd. So on a technicality, I have to say, that's my Scrooge for the year.
Okay.
All right. The good news is, Adam, I didn't get to a single note that I made. I have a list of, I don't know, 15 things to talk about. We didn't get to one of them.
Awesome. So maybe next year.
Next week's show, by the way, we're back to photography.
Great.
And next week's topic, I want to give you a heads up, is going to be your top three photos of 2014.
Oh, wow. So you're going to submit. We still have a photo challenge, though, right?
We have a photo challenge. The photo challenge from last week, which carries over, is 'Tis the Season.
Okay.
So it's going to be you getting a lump of coal from your in-laws.
Yeah.
That's what's going to end up happening.
Perfect.
But next week's topic, we're going to discuss our what we decide to be our top three photos of the year. Now, those don't have to be the challenge photos. That could be any photo you've taken in the calendar year, 2014.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll submit those and we'll discuss those. And up to you. I feel like perhaps we could comb through each other's challenge photos and pick out the best that the other guy took.
That's how we're going to do it?
That'll be added to it. So each of us will pick our three that we think are the best.
Three best photos of 2014.
And then I will pick what I think is your best out of the challenge photos, and you'll pick what is the best out of my challenge photos.
Oh, that sounds like way too much work.
But I'm going to put them in a folder for you, so it'll be really simple to scroll through.
Okay.
You don't have to go online and sift through. I will actually do the filtering for you.
Can you put my best photos from 2014 in a folder?
It'd be a very small folder. Yeah. So that's for next week. But for the eight of you who listened,
yes, all who the made way it, through, made it all the way to the end, because we probably had about 12 to start.
If that. I think some people like to protest too much.
Right.
But good news is, by the way, our listeners have started receiving their t-shirts today.
Wow.
Yeah. It's already starting.
Wow.
So if you.
Is that your dad?
No, he already had one.
Oh, okay.
He already had one, but just our listeners.
They're flying off the shelves.
Yeah, I don't even think there's any shelves. I think it's just a warehouse at this point.
Okay.
But no, we encourage people to, hey, tweet your photos, Facebook your photos, send us your photos of you wearing the shirt in somewhere fun, somewhere where we haven't been.
Sweet.
So I don't know where that is.
Can be like, you know, the people that bring their troll all over the place and take pictures with, oh, not their troll, their garden gnome or whatever.
Oh, George Clooney and Up in the Air.
Yeah.
Yes. I get compared to that a lot. The troll, not Clooney. Hey, thank you for scaring away the children. That's it, Adam.
Great.
Have a good Christmas, man.
You too. Merry Christmas.
All things being equal. Okay. Yeah. 'Cause you're in for a bumpy ride. But you know what? Next year is going to be awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
Once you rip that Band-Aid off, man, life is good. Your expectations, people's expectations of you are so low, you can't help but fulfill them.
That's the way
exceed
I do
them.
It. Yes.
So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos. Oh, and Feliz Navidad.